Well, I heard the bells ringing. I was thinking about winning in this godforsaken place. When my confidence is well, then I tripped and I fell right flat on my face. Now I'm standing in the wreck, and I feel like coming back, and the sun is shining gold. Put a smile on my face, get back in the human race, and get on with the show. And I'm taking in the Indian summer, and I'm soaking it up in my mind, and I'm pretending that it's paradise for the golden autumn day. On a golden autumn day, on a golden autumn day, on a golden autumn day. Now when we met in that love, I was parking my car in this dimly lit town. I was attacked by two thugs who took me for most and shoved me down on the ground. Then they pulled out a knife and I fought my way out as they scarped from the scene. Well, it is no New York street and there's no Barbie on the beat, and things ain't just what they seem. And I'm taking it the Indian summer, and I'm soaking it up in my mind, and I'm pretending that it's paradise on a golden autumn day, on a golden autumn day, on a golden autumn day, on a golden autumn day.
He's going over the freaking curve halfway around the ball, but the stars, they should be, this is what they should be doing. This is a simulation. They should be, as he's going over the ball, they should be rising. But he did a time lapse and they didn't rise. They did rotate because the star field is rotating, but no matter what direction he's going, that entire star field should be rising, but it's not. Look at these stars. They're not rising off the horizon. He's diving over a ball, which should make them all rise up.
So, the moon's phases are an excellent indicator of the current positional relationship between the Earth, the moon, and the sun, according to the ball-earth theory. During the full moon phase, the moon should be 180 degrees opposite the sun, according to an observer on Earth. During the no moon phase, the moon should be aligned to the sun, or on the same side of the Earth as the sun. And during either half moon phase, the moon should be on either side of the Earth. Quite simply, we can often see the moon rising and setting when it should be on the completely opposite side of the Earth, almost a quarter million miles underneath your feet. So, for one example, anyone who has paid attention can verify watching the full moon, or even 90% full moon, overhead during broad daylight. On the other hand, a very slight crescent moon, say 5 or 10% lit crescent moon, can be viewed during certain months during the middle of the night. Such observations are geometric impossibilities, according to the very ball Earth theory.
The Earth's curvature. According to the heliocentric Earth model, the Earth is 24,000 miles in circumference. And if one were standing at sea level, they should only be able to see less than 3 miles before the surface of the Earth curves out of view. But this has been proven to be false for centuries, from the Bedford Level experiments of 1838 to modern photography. This photograph of Chicago was taken almost 60 miles away from Grand Mire State Park in Michigan. On a spherical Earth, this would be impossible. Using the Pythagorean theorem and the current dimensions of the Earth, the top of the tallest skyscraper should be 900 feet below the observable horizon. Local news explained this anomaly by claiming the image was a mirage.
And what you're seeing here is a mirage. We typically would not be able to see this from the Lake Michigan shore. We talked about this last night. Conditions are right on the lake that we're actually seeing a mirage.
They claimed that somehow light refraction and perfect weather conditions are responsible for creating a photorealistic mirage of the Chicago skyline appearing to sit on the flat horizon from almost 60 miles away.
Hello, everyone. This is absolutely huge news. We've already had one cosmonaut claim that the Earth is flat. His name was Miroslav Hermajewski. Here he is getting a photograph with a flat earther, and this is a Wikipedia article on Hermajewski. Please watch his interview.
Pan tam był. Czy Ziemia rzeczywiście jest kulą zawieszoną w kosmosie?
Jest płaska. Tak jak oczekują. Nie spodziewałem się, co prawda, tego pytania, ale zapewniam pana, że jest płaska.
Generał Mirosław Hermaszewski, jak dotąd pierwszy i ostatni Polak, który odbył lot orbitalny. Dziękuję serdecznie za rozmowę.
Dzięki. Dziękuję. Kłaniam się.
That was awesome, but now we have a Soviet cosmonaut who has said that we have never been to space. This cosmonaut's name is Igor Petrovich Volk. Mr. Volk even received the Medal of the Hero of the Soviet Union. I have included the translation of the interview, which you can verify by clicking on the CC button on YouTube. Now please watch the interview.
Сепак вие сте и герои на Съветския съюз и можем да ви вярваме.
Герои на Съветския съюз, мы можем верить вам.
Вы знаете, вот ты Вижте, сказал, что вроде чести казах, космонавтов, что они не говорят о том космосе. Кодат, а им говорить нечего. Не я об этом
кара космонавтите да говорят за това, были. Което става в космоса.
Говорит,
те просто не знаят нищо
не
верят, такова.
Не
ние не сме били в космоса. Ако някой твърди това, това не е вярно. Не е истина.
Това е поредната хипотеза, над която ще се наложи заедно с зрителите на въпрос на гледна точка да размишляваме дълго.
Хорошо.
Добре.
Это хорошо, когда
това
люди
е добре,
думают.
Когато хората мислят. Това ми харесва.
Игор Петрович, благодаря ви за участието в въпрос на гледна точка.
Пожалуйста.
Моля.
There you have it! Two truly brave cosmonaut whistleblowers have now told you that space is fake. How much more evidence do you need?
I've got the sun down here. I've got Mercury represented in this first orbit, and it supposedly orbits somewhere around 43 million miles at its maximum. And then you have Venus over here at 67 million miles in the second orbit from the sun. And of course, we've got the blue marble. We've got Earth up here in the third orbit, going around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour, supposedly at a distance of 93 million miles from the sun. Okay, and in the meantime, we're spinning around here, okay? Right now, the reason I got the light, I just wanted to cast a strong enough shadow. So you see, this would be daytime on this side, and it's nighttime on this side, the dark side, Okay, so I get thinking, we are out here looking this way. We're looking out that way. We want to knock the Earth out of its orbit. But we are looking this direction toward the darkness in our sky. Okay, now the question is, why can I see Venus at all? If Venus is rotating down here in its second orbit, we're in the third orbit, but we are facing away from Venus right now. How come I can see it in the sky? I mean, it might be up here, wherever, but it's still maintaining this circular distance in here inside the orbit, on the inside orbit between Earth and Sun. So why am I able to see Venus on the dark side of Earth right now? It would have to be out here to enable it to be seen. It'd have to be catching the light from the Sun and being able to be seen here. If it's where we are told it is located, we would not be able to see it in our night sky right now.
My name is Bamri Babic, and I'm 8 years old, and I'm going to be teaching you about flat Earth. So first, we're going to start off with gravity. Gravity is a theory, not a fact. Mass attracting mass never been proven properly. This happened in 1666, and apple fell on Isaac Newton's head. It must have been a big apple for him to believe in gravity. Gravity is fake because density and EMF are making things drop, not gravity. There is iodine salt in this cup and no iodine salt in the other cup. There is 2 cups of water with an egg. One with iodine salt, one with no iodine salt. This one has iodine salt and it has electricity because electricity is pushing the egg up. On the other one, it has no electricity in it because the egg is denser than the water. Density and surrounding medium with EMF. That stands for electromagnetic frequency. If gravity can't be proven and Earth is 70% water, we know water stays level, then 70% of Earth is level. Now we are going to move on to the globe and our flat Earth. So say there's a boat just cruising on the bottom of the Earth. It would fall into space, and space is fake. If space was real, stars would have parallax, but they don't. So it would just fall into space. And this is for anything that can't go upside down. If people believe that the Earth is round, people don't walk upside down. Same with a boat. It doesn't sail upside down. They think this is true on that. Well, no. It is not. This is our true flat Earth. And the thing around it is the firmament. I'm going to tell you how the firmament is real. The firmament is real because air pressure has to be contained, just like in a tire. Now we are going to move on to seasons and the sun. The spinning ball globe believers say that the sun is 93 million miles away. The globe depends on parallel rays for the seasons. All you have to do is use your God-given eyes to see we have crepuscular rays from the sun. Crepuscular rays proves we have a local sun. That proves everything about seasons and the sun. Now we are going to move on to a sun, moon, and Earth depiction. The sun is shining on the moon and the moon is shining on the Earth. Why is it not shining its temperature on Earth? Well, me and my dad did an experiment one night on a full moon and we used a laser thermometer to check the moon's light and its shadow. The moon's light was colder than its shadow. So that proves the light is colder than its shadow. And proves that the moon has its own light. The sun is not reflecting its light on the moon. The moon has its own light. Thank you for watching my Flat Earth presentation. I hope you guys liked it. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Just remember, the truth does not fear investigation. Thank you for watching. Bye.
Hey, man. People have been talking about Earth's core lately. It's been in the news.
It's been in the news. Clearly, it's slowing down or something.
It sounds like something from a Hollywood movie.
Right.
The script says, oh, my God, the core of the Earth is spinning backwards. The core of the Earth sits in a pool of like molasses.
Okay.
Liquid outer layer.
Right.
Okay. Well, why isn't it liquid all the way through? Because as you keep going further down, the pressure is so high that it's compactified into a solid.
Look at that.
Yes.
So it's just as hot, but the pressure is so yes. great, it will yes. not allow it to melt.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
So you have a solid iron core center that's center. Surrounded by a liquid core liquid. Outer.
Okay. Whoa. This means the solid core is kind of independent of the rest of the planet.
Yes.
Because it's only a liquid. It's like lubrication even.
Yes.
Think about it that way.
Are you confused? I am.
The bad news is that we know very little about the core of the Earth. Very little about what's underneath our feet.
Yeah, but like, you get Earth real deep, it gets big, hot, right?
It's hot. It's about as hot as the sun's surface.
Whoa! Yeah. The lake of fire! Take that, Dante!
Hell hath no fury like Earth's core.
That's
that?
Right.
Earth is a giant ball of lava
mm-hmm.
with a thin crust on the top, which we think of as like the surface, this thin crust. And it's mostly just a big ball of lava. That's Earth.
Like a delicious metal pie.
Metal pie, exactly.
We really don't know that much about our home. We know more about other planets than we do about the center of the Earth.
That's so interesting.
So how do you know all this? Like, you've been to the center of the Earth?
Kind of with our pressure waves, yes.
Oh.
So you add up all these data, and you can reconstruct what the center of the Earth, what the entire structure of the Earth would be like.
Wow.
Okay, without ever having gone there.
That's amazing.
This is the crust of the Earth that we live on.
Yes.
This is the core of the Earth. The core could move independently of the crust. Implications are potentially enormous.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
That is. It's all fascinating. I love it.
You got it.
It's under our feet. It's just, you can almost touch it, but it is thousands of miles distant.
That's been yet another explainer. This one on Earth's core. As only an astrophysicist can describe it.
In science, we always say that you make observations, you have a theory, you go make more observations, and it's a very, very tedious process. Wrong. Nobody that I know of in my field uses the so-called scientific method. In our field, it's by the seat of your pants. It's leaps of logic. It's guesswork.
That's what we call pseudoscience.
And not everybody can be a robot polisher.
Like a delicious metal pie.
Hello, everyone. Excuse me, as I do have a cold today, but I wanted to get this information out as quickly as possible. First, I want to thank the former YouTube channel called Flat Balance for sending me this information last night. The Flat Balance channel doesn't exist anymore, but he still contributes behind the scenes. Now, this same person is the one who originally sent this interview of the former cosmonaut from the Soviet Union named Igor Volk. Igor Volk died in 2017 in Bulgaria several years after this interview that was conducted in 2014. Let's watch my old video.
But now we have a Soviet cosmonaut who has said that we have never been to space. This cosmonaut's name is Igor Petrovich Volk. Mr. Volk even received the Medal of the Hero of the Soviet Union. I have included the translation of the interview, which you can verify by clicking on the CC button on YouTube. Now please watch the interview.
Все пак вие сте герой на Съветския съюз и можем да ви вярваме.
Вы знаете, вот Вижте, сказал, что вроде чести космонавтов, что они не говорят о том космосе. А им говорить нечего. Я об этом
кара космонавтите да говорят за това, което става в космоса.
Говорит,
те просто не знаят нищо
не
верьте, такова.
Не
Ние
правда.
Не сме били в космоса. Ако някой твърди това, това не е вярно. Не е истина.
Това е поредната хипотеза, над която ще се наложи заедно с зрителите на въпрос на гледна точка да размишляваме дълго.
Хорошо.
Добре.
Это хорошо, когда
това
люди
добре,
думают.
Когато хората мислят. Това ми харесва.
Игор Петрович, благодаря ви за участието във въпрос на гледна точка.
Пожалуйста.
Моля.
We have an actual former cosmonaut whistleblower who said that we have never been to space. After I published that original video, we heard every sort of excuse from the propagandists. I wish I still had that old channel that was terminated by YouTube because the excuses in the comments section were comical. Some tried to claim that it was mistranslated, but others came out and said that the translation was correct. The propagandists pretty much settled on the claim that Igor Volk was joking. And that's why this next interview is so important. The interviewer of cosmonaut Igor Volk back in 2014 was Stoycho Kirev. But this time, Stoycho Kirev, who is on the right, is being interviewed by the YouTuber Martin Karbovsky. These two men are well respected in Bulgaria. Now, this interview is only 6 days old. That means that this interview was 9 years after Stoycho Kirev interviewed Igor Volk. Let's watch a portion of this new interview.
Не знам, братко, Кафка е казал, този свят не е толкова лош, защото е много лош, а защото е единствен. Къде ходим?
О, колко...
Колко?
Колко, освен че хубаво и вярно.
Mm-hmm.
Ами, знаеш ли, за съжаление, Илон Мъск не е открил света, на който да отидем. И май mm-hmm. няма да го открие скоро. И май нашия свят...
Ще мина директно на конспирацията, няма да се водя по тук, по този план. Той е твърде любезен.
Не дей.
Бяха ли те на Луната?
Бяха чушки на Луната.
Аз ще ви кажа нещо, което мога да, изложи, да ме изложи. Нали? Гледах няколко десетки популярни филма, научно-популярни филма, документални. И вече съм абсолютно убеден, че никой не е ходил там и американците са перфектни в една изучителна измислица. Ами аз правя документални филми. И ако трябва да покривам несъответствия, те непрекъсто изкачат несъответствия, аз знам, че няма да мога да ги покрия, особено за такъв голям мащаб, особено за по-дълго време. Минаха 50 години, минаха ли? 60 години беше. По-малко ли са?
50.
И, 60. И в един момент разбираш, че ние нямаме технологията да отидем до там. И в момента. Аз не се шегувам. Може да ме обиждате, може да си мислите, че аз нали, полудявам. Но седнах, мислих, гледах и по-ново на мен така седях и казах на един човек до мен, абе, те май не са ходени там. Седя и мисля.
Кажа нещо.
А винаги съм вярвал. Има и нещо друго, само тази край.
Да.
След това руснаците казаха, че и те са били. После руснаците замълчаха. Кой е бил всъщност на Луната от руснаците? Никой не е бил.
Мой гост беше един от най-великите космонавти на Съветския съюз, Игор Волк.
Да.
Игор Волк остана в България. Той, за съжаление, и почина в България няколко години след гостуването ми. Той остана в България седмица, че и повече, в което време бях с него и съм много признателен за това. Това е космонавта, който е може би с най-странна съдба. Този човек е изпитал всички видове самолети, произведени в света. Този човек в частен разговор ми каза, ние в космоса не сме летяли.
Mm-hmm. Обикаляме тук на около горните слоеве.
Около земно.
Нали?
Да.
А в космоса?
А Луната е в космоса. Да. И само това отговаря на този въпрос, над който и ти разсъждаваш.
Ама и ти каза,
по твой начин.
Не са ходили Армстронг и...
Марто, необходимо ли е някой да ти каже нещо директно, при положение, че дава ключа за...
На повечето хора им е необходимо.
А, така ли? Руски космонавт да каже, ние не сме стъпвали на Луната. И да ми го каже, при положение, че знае, че утре аз ще го изцепя в ефир.
Единственото доказателство, което се опитаха да направят Meatbusters, беше, че пращаха лъч лазерен до Луната и той се върна, защото американците сложили там някакви огледала.
Дрън-дрънта пляс.
This confirms that former Soviet Union cosmonaut Igor Volk was not joking. No one has been to the moon. No one has been to space. We have all been lied to big time. Please share this information everywhere.
Hi there. Today I wanted to talk to you guys about lies. You know who's not been lying to you? This guy. You know who does lie to you? These guys. Every day. Check this out. NASA claims that their International Swimming Station, Space Station, and all of their satellites rotate around the Earth in the thermosphere. Which is a funny thing because the thermosphere, as you can see right here from their website, gets up to 4,500 degrees Fahrenheit. Now that's pretty hot if you ask me. It is especially hot, however, if you're taking into account all of the melting points of all these metals listed right here. How exactly does NASA have satellites and a space station rotating in the thermosphere when all of these metals would melt already? Titanium, stainless steel, platinum, all of it. What are those satellites and space station made out of? What about their spacesuits that you see all these videos of them outside the space station working on stuff? What are those made out of? Kevlar? Ugh, wrong again. I doubt that since Kevlar burns up at 850 degrees Fahrenheit. But that is crazy because also from their website, that's exactly what they say that their suits are made out of. And let's not even get into what Teflon melts at. But as always, when NASA gets caught and gets asked a real question, they come up with some amazing phenomenon to explain it all. Something like that you wouldn't be very cold because there aren't enough gas molecules to transfer the heat to you. Well, that's funny because how did they measure that physical heat if it can't be felt by any physical objects? Do they have some sort of thermometer that might do that? If so, let's look that up and see. Or I'll just leave that up to all you people who keep calling me a liar. Because honestly, I'm just trying to teach you and show you that these people are liars.
And then you ask, why would they lie to me?
Well, answer number one is to hide God from you on a daily basis and to make you think that you're insignificant and floating around on some tiny little helpless ball waiting to be crushed at any second. Reason number two is their budget this year is $24 billion. Now, I know you Globies don't really like math, so I took the time to knock this down for you. 24 billion divided by 365 days, that's $65,753,424.66 per day. That's a lot of lies, buddy. But you call me crazy.
If the Earth was a spinning ball, it is virtually impossible for a ship to be moving at 25 to 30 knots on this curved spinning ball while tracking an aircraft that's probably going 300 miles per hour, 50 to 100 miles away, really. I mean, these like P3 aircrafts were pretty far and 20,000 feet in the air. It's just virtually impossible. It doesn't make sense. Again, at the time, I wasn't thinking like this, but looking back on the information that I had, I'm like, yeah, there's no way. There's no way that that was done on a curved Earth. Literally, the only way that could work is if we are on a flat stationary plane. We're cruising along. The boat is cruising along in the water. Like, think about it in terms of like a large, like, you know, like those backyard swimming pools. Picture the swimming pool filled up, right? And then your ship, you put a little boat on the swimming pool, and then, you know, you put like a little fake aircraft in the air. Now, from that ship, you're able to see the aircraft. It doesn't matter where you are in that pool, you can track that aircraft. If you're on a spinning ball curve, how the hell can you track an aircraft that could be in a position that's 100 to 200 miles away from you, 30,000 feet in the air, from a different angle that's around a curve? It's impossible. There's no way that you could, there's no radio frequency that could track that.
I'd like to point out that I see now that I didn't see before is that you have a magnetic compass and you have a gyro on any ship. And I'm not talking about your little crabberman show fishing boat. What are the deadliest catch? I'm talking about a real deep sea going unlimited tonnage boat. It's going to have a gyro. And it is a big, huge box that sits usually behind the bridge or in the chart room. It's a big box and it's basically the gyro compass. Now, if you had two models, I guess, wouldn't you have to have one making the corrections, because it almost never matches the magnetic almost never matches the gyro. It's very rare that we're steering the same course. And they say it's due to deviation and variation is where you know, like the metals of the ship causes it to differ. And then you have the variation of the magnetic fields over the Earth. Is, I guess they change, you know, true north and magnetic north. But the way I look at it is, man, they got two different machines. One is a machine and one is from God. The way to get around the Earth. God's not a dummy. He put the way to get around the Earth with the compasses. If back in the day they had motorized vessels that can get them around, they would probably have got around a lot better. But they were at the mercy of the wind. People say, oh, they didn't know their way, or, you know, they were using the stars and stuff. And they, you know, so I just believe that the two compasses, the gyro compass that's electronic, and then our regular compass, is because they are switching the ways, you know, the maps. There's two different ways to get around the Earth. You're tricking.
And I'm looking into this flat Earth thing, and I said, oh, it's so stupid. You know, of course we know the Earth is not flat. I mean, how could it be flat? This is crazy. What about all the other planets? And then I tried to disprove flat Earth. I went and said, you know what? I'm going to look. I'm going to prove all you flat Earthers to be dum-dums, and I'm just going to just be done with it. And that's how you become a flat Earther, all right? Once you understand that this is not flat Earth, this is what they want you to think flat Earth is. And that way you'll just disregard it and never look at it. This is not flat Earth. And then it absolutely, when you look at it, I don't know how I don't know how anybody could possibly believe it. There's so many, issues. Like here, you know, we have to believe this was what was originally shown when Russia landed a rover on the moon. Okay. Look at this. Does this hold up? Right? This is what we were shown, Russia landing a rover on the moon, and the U.S. is no better. Here's a demonstration about how the sun sets, and then I'll show you what the sun looks like. So this line, we're viewing it from a elevated point of view, from a celestial point of view. So if this was the sun, and it's moving across this line, it's going in a straight level line. You agree this line is level?
Yep.
It is.
Yep.
Okay. And so this could be clouds, a cloud deck, it could be mountains, it could be a city skyline, and it never went below this. Now I have a camera on the table, on the counter, on the other end watching it, we're watching the same thing. And if I showed you this first, I would say, is this line level? And you'd be like, no, it's angled down like at 45 degrees. And I'd say, are we going below this thing that appears to be at eye level? But it's not, it's really above eye level. And it just goes beyond it. Now look at this line. This is a level line. But this is how perspective works. And most people don't understand perspective. Now let's compare this to a real sunset. So here's my sun just going away across a level line. Here's the sun going away. What's it going behind? This is called the atmospheric deck of opacity. And if I zoomed out on that, it would look like it's going below the horizon, but it's not, okay? People see stuff like this. Now, this is super zoomed in. You zoom out and this entire building disappears. You can't even see it. When we zoom in, we're like, hey, the bottom of the building's missing. What's going on here? A couple things. A little ways in the foreground are blocking the building, but if you look, these terraces are compressed. As you're looking lower and lower in the atmosphere, it's compressing. This little terrace here is the same as this. So you're having compression. You're having obfuscation by the waves. And that's why you can't see this, right? Here is a bunch of balloons, helium balloons, tied them to this. There's a button right here, just a metal button. And we have a wire going to a Van de Graaff generator that can put a charge into it. So this is floating, neutrally, it's just balanced. We're gonna add a positive charge. And as soon as we do, just adding a charge to it, it goes down. And then when we discharge it, we let it go back to its natural state, it goes right back up. Now, do we make it heavier or do we change the electrostatic charge and make it more attractive to Earth? The funny thing is, all of the periodic table, the higher the positive charge, the more dense it is, right? And density, it makes it heavy. So what's the opposite of that? You look this up, it's a tinfoil triangle, and we put a negative charge into it, and we keep that negative charge into it, and it goes up. It goes up and away. Are we defying gravity, or are we defying the electrostatic charge? Right? Remember, gravity is just a theory with 96% of it made up, right? So here's something MIT is working on. This is called the silent drone. Look at this thing. No moving parts, makes no sound. All they did is change the electrostatic charge of this, and it flies. Okay? There.
What I've always questioned, when they take videos or photos outside of Earth, they never turn around 360. It's always pointing
never
down.
Once.
Why is that?
I think it was Rockefeller that said, I don't want a class of thinkers, I want a class of workers. So they send you to college. College literally fills your head with nonsense. They teach you algebra and basic geometry and calculus. They teach you to become an accountant. They teach you to work in their fiat money system. Be a slave for them. They don't teach you about sacred geometry, about vortex mathematics. They don't teach you about the stuff that could challenge their authority, right? Where is it? They want us to believe that We're spinning, whirling, and twirling in four different directions at once. We're spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. That means when you watch the sunset, the sun's not going down. You're falling over backwards faster than the speed of sound on a spinning ball. You're falling over backwards. That's why the sun's appearing to go down, when in reality, it's just going away. We're orbiting the sun at 66,000 miles an hour. That's crazy. You can't even fathom what that speed is, and we're chasing the sun at about 500,000 miles per hour. Let me put those into perspective for you. This is the hypersonic sled track. I'm going to go by. It's a rocket sled. Goes by at Mach 8.6. You can't even see it. Watch, it'll go again. Mach 8.6. You have to believe, right, if you believe in the heliocentric system, that we are orbiting the sun 10 times faster than this, and we're chasing the sun 100 times faster. So we live on a lumpy rock, surrounded by spherical, adjacent to a vacuum, a void of no pressure, which is scientifically impossible, and we're moving 10 times the speed and 100 times the speed in two different directions, and a fourth direction, I can't even calculate how many times. But when we go outside, we see stuff like this. What does this tell you? What does your common sense tell you, not your indoctrination? This tells you that this is flat and stationary, right? Get a dinner plate, fill it with water, and try to walk across the room. Try to hold it in a car or going just 100 miles an hour on a perfectly straight road, then have that car speed up or slow down the tiniest bit or take the slightest turn. That water is going to slosh. But we don't see that. We see this. But then they say gravity, right? Gravity, well, we're all programmed like the parents. Gravity, gravity, right? Gravity is just a theory. Okay? They know. They don't even know what gravity is. They came up with a theory of gravity. They put it to the test. They go, well, 96% of it's wrong. Oh, therefore, there must be 96% dark matter and dark energy that no one has ever seen, no one has ever measured, but it has to be there or their theory doesn't work. That's not science. That's pseudoscience. And when you have a theory that doesn't work, you throw the theory out. You don't make up nonsense.
The door salute! Because the earth is flat, y'all!
We are here today to tell you that WHO globalitarian misanthropist, we are here today to tell you. You picked this fight. You wanted this fight. Well, guess what? You've got it. Let's fight. Because these brave citizens, my colleagues, and I, we will not tire to fight you every step of the way. These brave 7 citizens and millions more around the world. These are the people you will have to reckon with from now on. Because we are millions. Millions around the world. It is you that is the small French minority. You are the ones who do not have the right to dictate to the people what they want and what they don't want.
Done some research. Give it up for Evan. Evan's done some research. Yeah. Well, we can't do this on our own. We need you guys to do some of your own research to fully understand the flat Earth. Everyone in the club, this is your second piece of homework. Next week, we're going to compile a list of theories and ideas that we can debate the astrophysics club for. Yes. I have my notes about how we're going to debate the astrophysics club in my backpack. Just like you have glue in my backpack. Therefore, the cat is in the bag, and we're going to beat some astrophysics ass. The Dador salute! Because the Earth is flat, y'all!